Now, to Anthony Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS, a Washington think tank, where he holds the Arleigh Burke Chair in Strategy. Anthony Cordesman, can we infer from the Pentagon's estimate of the readiness of Iraqi army and police units how soon there might or might not be a substantial reduction of U.S. forces in Iraq?
We really can't. And people in Iraq who are conducting the training effort are very careful about this. It seems likely that enough Iraqi combat units, special police, and counterinsurgency elements of the Ministry of Interior and regular police will come online by the end of this year or early 2006, so you should be able to make some kind of phased reductions in coalition forces. But the truth is, there aren't enough units out in the field performing the most demanding missions yet. You really have not seen a lot of the forces go from the training phase and from having coalition training teams embedded in them to actual performance to make these kinds of judgments. That doesn't mean they're going to fail, but to try to set a calendar before there really is a critical mass in the field is simply impossible.
So to think in terms of a phased withdrawal within the next 2 or 3 years, let's say, might be premature and might represent a small number of troops?
I think when you talk 2 to 3 years, there is a very good chance that you would see major reductions in coalition forces. If you didn't, it is hard to see how the effort could succeed, because Iraqi forces by that time will either have been deployed and shown that they're capable in the field or they won't. The Iraqi political structure will either have succeeded or failed. So it is not a matter of years before you would see, I think, the opportunity for significant reductions, but it could easily be months.
But one could infer from that that, say, by the 2008 elections, to use our own domestic concerns here, we can speak of whether the mission has generally succeeded in Iraq or not in terms of being able to get out.
Certainly by that time we should see whether the Iraqi political system works, whether Iraqi forces work, and whether the efforts to stimulate the Iraqi economy are providing sort of the third pillar of security.
You caution, as others do, against our thinking in terms of a one-for-one replacement of U.S. troops by Iraqis. I'm trying to figure out, why shouldn't one native Iraqi who's fluent in Arabic and who knows his own country and his culture replace more than one American who is there and who is inevitably dependent on Iraqis in order to do his job?
Well, if we're going to give every one of those Iraqis his own attack helicopter, his own transport helicopter, an artillery weapon, and an M1 tank, then I suspect that everything you say is true. But the fact is that we're not talking the same kind of forces. By some point in mid-2006, you'll have gone from roughly 172,000 police, military, and security forces today to 270,000. But the vast majority of those will be people in the police and the regular security forces, units designed to provide day-to-day security. You may have somewhere between 70,000 to 85,000 ground troops. Out of those, they will not have, by that time, large amounts of armor. They're not going to have a major air force or helicopters to provide transportation. There is a partnership here, and it's going to take time to get Iraqi forces to the point where they have the kind of ability to take on first-line insurgents, to secure the borders, to deal with potential threats from foreign states.
In sum, are you a little bit more hopeful about the mission in Iraq now than you were, say, a year ago?
I would have said a year ago that the odds of success were 50-50. I think that's still true. But we should know in the next 6 to 8 months two critical issues. One is whether the Iraqi forces we're creating will be effective, and the other is whether the Iraqi political process can move forward and will be inclusive and resist civil war. If it does, we probably will succeed. If we fail in either or both of those areas, then it's almost impossible to see how we can make Iraq work.
Mr. Cordesman, thanks for talking with us once again.
Thank you.
Anthony Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C.